Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so then bottom 44. When the disciples' consciousness become nicely tuned to the ecstatic transcendental dynamism of Krishna Lila, Shravana Dasa is consummated. Right? The disciples' Lobha and Ruchi are then unrestrained, and he is promoted to Varna Dasa, the stage of acceptance. Right? So here is he's become tuned into the dynamics of the Krishna Lila, right? Because otherwise, before we're tuned into the dynamics of the material world, right? Now you tune into the dynamics of the pastimes. This isn't just remembering pastimes or, you know, facts about the pastimes. It means one's tuned into the mood that's happening in the pastimes. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So that's the position. And then Varanadasa, then we see here is that here in this last point, last paragraph of Raghunath Das Goswami, the mood of surrender and heartfelt yearning for the intimate service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna permeates the devotee's devotional fervor in Varanadasa. Right? So the others, he's tuned into the mood. Now he has that mood of surrender, and he just wants to be involved in that. Right? He desires to be involved in it. Mm-hmm. Right, so it's not that you're in it, you're desiring to be in it. Right? This is very important. We're talking now of the Uttama stage. Mm-hmm. Right? So you see the Sahajas and these other groups where then, you know, they do this aspect, they meditate upon the Astikali Alila and think how they're doing this and that. But it's not actually the position. One has to already be in mood with the dynamics of the pastime. And because of that, one yearns for those to be involved in the pastimes. Right? Okay, so now... Then...
Yes. This is a Baba stage or Prema?
This is Baba.
Baba.
Prema is another thing.
Yes.
Prema, then you don't have to have a process.
Yes.
Because then just that spontaneous love is there. Of course, one's following the directions as given by the authorities. Right? Like here. Okay, now the guru instructs them to meditate on Krishna Lila through the Astakaya Lila and take full shelter in chanting Hari Nam, and assures them that soon his heart's desire of intimate loving service will be realized. So now here is, we see it's the same process. There's not a different process. Sometimes it'll be said, oh no, it's a different process. You see, the principle is the same. Detail may be slightly different, but principle is still the same. Right? Principle is that you're meditating on Krishna and fully taking shelter of the holy name. And then by that process, by following the Guru's order in chanting and remembering Krishna, one will very soon be absorbed in Krishna's Leela. Does this make sense? So it's the same thing, just that now they're in tune with that dynamics of the pastime, so now they're able to fully be absorbed in it, which before were distracted by the material world. Right? You know, when we get absorbed like something, the kirtan's very nice, we get absorbed, or the deities look very beautiful today, we get absorbed. But then the next moment, then somebody comes along and, you know, we're looking at the deities and goes, and then they bump you, hey, who's that? You know, like that, you know, and it's gone, right? You know. Does that make sense? So that's what's happening in is that we're trying to get the principle always, that consistency. That's the important thing. And so the detail will change as you move through. Right? As you become more advanced, then the quality of the surrender, the quality of the chanting, the quality of the remembering, the quality of the desire increases. Does that make sense? But it's not that it's a different process. Right? Because the nature of it has become deeper, therefore it's given a different stage. Does that make sense? You know, in the neophyte stage, one is surrendered to Guru, but not to everything else around. Does that make sense? Guru is given an order. It means, let's say we have a nice neophyte, okay? So, the Guru is given an order. They're committed to following that. And they try to do that in their life, but at the same time as they're doing that in the environment of the Sankirtan pastimes. Right? And you may or may not appreciate everybody else around. You may or may not be in the mood of what's going on in these pastimes. You understand? So that's the neophyte. The Madhyama, then, that surrender is greater because we see that they're able to apply it within the environment of the Vaishnavas. Right? So they're able to accept and deal properly with the Vaishnavas. So then they're much more in tune with the Sankirtan pastime. Does that make sense? Right? And so now in the Uttam platform, then that's even deeper. Now you don't have the conditioning to get in the way that's there with the neophyte and the Madhyama. Right? Does that make sense? Neophyte, it can get in the way. The Madhyama, generally it doesn't, but it's just a comfortable position to work from. But eventually it has to be that one is then just the pastimes, the mood of the pastimes, that's the absorption. Right? Because the Madhyama, it's, you know, not properly or expertly doing the activities within the pastimes. Right? But here now it's the mood of what those pastimes are. That's perfectly done. Right? Does that make sense? So we see, so that means one's completely in tune with the Vaishnavas. Right, the one is one's in tune with Guru, but not necessarily Vaishnavas. Then Guru, and then Vaishnavas you can cooperate with. But here now you're totally in tune with, because you don't have to deal with any conditioning. But so that surrender is then can be greater. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes. Yes, because it's the mood that is there. So for us, then the primary mood is established by the founder Acharya, right? Then everybody else is showing us, you know, glimpses that are how we can appreciate or follow that. Does that make sense? It means it can't be in opposition to, you know what I'm saying? That's how you know. That's basically how you know if the line is correct. Does that make sense? The mood is in line with the founder Acharya, right? Means if you're dealing without the founder Acharya, then of course those who are proper is bona fide. But there may be a very different approach, a very different mood according to the situation of the disciples. You know, does that make sense? Because it means if you're in a time when there is no founder, like in other ages, okay? So the mood between one guru and the next may be very different, even in the same line, you know. But that doesn't matter, because the point is it's just appropriate for what's right there, right now. You know, you're dealing on the eternal platform, but you only have to create something. You don't have to create an institution as such. You just have to create, organize the disciples and their training and their service. Does that make sense? When you have the founder Acharya, then you have to establish a form that will last for the length of that mission. Right? So Prabhupada's mentioned 10,000 years. So that means this form, how he's established it, that can work for 10,000 years. The teachings, everything's relevant. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, Vijaya, kindly elaborate upon Smarana Dasa. Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami states in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Purva Vibhag 1, 2, 2, 9, 4, 6. of line 4 through 6. One should always think of Krishna within oneself and should choose a very dear devotee who is a servitor of Krishna in Vrindavan. One should constantly engage in topics about that servitor and his or her loving relationship with Krishna. And one should live in Vrindavan. One is physically unable to go to Vrindavan, he should live there mentally. Right? So here now we've gotten to, this is the third stage. You know, this third stage now, one is then identifying with a particular devotee, right? Meaning Shravana Dasa, one's adjusting with the mood, right? Varna Dasa, you're gaining that desire to be absorbed in the pastimes, right? And then this last one is, this next one is then following the footsteps of particular devotees. Right? In other words, their kind of service, their kind of mood is what you want to do. Does that make sense? So this is the third stage. You know, so this is like the third stage of bhava. But we see is like we see before the sahajas like to start here. You know? It's not that they've understood the mood, it's not that they've developed that actual transcendental desire. You know, it's just that they start at this point. They kind of amalgamate them together and don't really make a distinction. So it doesn't really work. That's the difference. That means if one is below Smarana Dasa, means that one's on the platform of Bhava, so one's liberated. One doesn't, then, how you say, one can be impressed by, but one's not seeing these kind of services. Yeah, you understand? So even here, you're not seeing that I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. Right? If you ever hear somebody talk about, well, then the pastimes, you see yourself doing this, you see yourself doing that. We haven't come across that yet. We're already in the bhava. So how would anybody else lower than that be doing? Does that make sense? That's where the sahaja element comes in. Because that's the thing. Sahaja, it's easy. You just feel like it. You do it. Right? Rather than you qualify. In the transcendental realm of Rajadham, one should serve the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna with feelings similar to that of his associates. So one should place himself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna, following in his or her footsteps. This method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana and in the stage of sadhya, when one is a Siddha Purush, a spiritually perfected soul. Now here we have to be careful, it said, this method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana and the stage of sadhya, when one is Siddha Purush. Now, specifically, the direct details that it's defining here, the sadhana being referred to is bhav sadhana, not vaidhi sadhana. Right? Does that make sense? Bhav sadhana. So it applies here, just like you're going to put yourself under somebody, even when you come to the platform of prema, you're still going to work under that someone. It's not going to change. Right? Mm-hmm. Now the principle of following in someone's footsteps by surrender, that goes also down into sadhana, meaning vaidhi sadhana. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like that. So that remains the same. But this detail of the particular aspects within the transcendental pastimes, that you are not doing. Why not? Because you don't necessarily know who's who. Does that make sense? Well, on this platform, then you know who's who. So that makes sense. Yes.
So much.
Yes.
Bhava sadhana consists in what type of occupation?
Bhava sadhana. Yeah. Means what we're just talking about. There's this Shravana Dasa, Varana Dasa. Yes. This is bhava sadhana, okay. The five stages of bhava sadhana.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. Like that. Well, in your, vaidhi and rag sadhana, then you have, you know, shraddha, sadhusanga, bhajana, kriya, anartha, nivriti, nishta, ruchi, and asakti. So you have seven stages.
Okay.
Right? Yes. But in bhava, you have five. Okay. So now this is the third one.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't gotten into the pastimes yet.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Don't worry, it's not a problem. Since one now is working on the eternal platform, then it's just about, compared in eternity, this is a very quick stage. Right? Okay. According to spiritual preceptors, the essential accessories of Vaidhi Bhakti, such as Shravanam, loud kirtan and so on is still suitable, it should be continued for the cultivation of Raga Nuga Bhakti. Right? Mm-hmm. So now here's, now the acharyas, then they've established that the essential accessories, not all, but the main ones, hearing, chanting, remembering the Lord, you know, associating with devotees, hearing Bhagavatam, worship, these things are maintained. As we were asking, what's the occupation? So here's the occupation. So that remains. So it doesn't change. So still externally, one will still act as if one's a neophyte devotee. Right? The Madhyama acts in that way. The Uttama acts in that way. So everybody acts as the neophyte. Because if everybody didn't act as the neophytes wouldn't act as neophytes. Right? Right? That's the whole point. And the thing is that what's given to the neophytes is the essential points and some extra to catch all the other conditioning. But the essential elements, that everybody does because they come from the spiritual world. Right? They're not coming from somewhere else. Right? So it says, are still most suitable. It doesn't say it's okay, or you can kind of get by, or don't worry, very soon you won't have to hear and chant anymore. You know, no, these are what they do in the spiritual world. That's they're always hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of the devotees. Right? So that's what's going on. Okay. Before Srila Goswami could explain the purport of these verses, Vijaya eagerly interjected, asking Gurudev, what is meant here by Kuryad Vasham Rajay Sada? Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami stated that the devotee should physically reside in Vraja. If he cannot be present there physically, he should dwell in Vraja within his mind. Residence within the mind and physical residence in Vraja both bestow the attainment of the final goal. So wherever one is, one can remember the Lord in his pastimes, and then one will be there. The devotee must always meditate upon Krishna. Does that make sense? So then one will be in Vrindavan. Right? The benefit of being in the Dham is you get that 1,000 times. But the point is you still are in Vrindavan. Right? The devotee must always meditate upon Krishna and the Shakya whose bhava he is emulating, knowing that he in his internal swarup is her assistant, Kunja Sevika, for the rendering of service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna and the groves of Raja. Right? So the principle is one is still servant, one is still assistant. Right? Does that make sense? But you know, one has to be careful about becoming proud of this. You know, it's just like as you move up in the world of the servants and you're serving somewhat bigger, then the tendencies become more proud that I'm more special. The principle is no, you're still a servant. As a sadhaka, the aspirant must continue to perform Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atmanivedanam in his external gross body, though they form the limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti. Right? He's doing that even though they are the limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti, but these limbs have been gained from devotional, you know, the practical devotional service in the spiritual world. Right? However, having acquired the Ekadasa Bhav of intimate worship, the sadhaka evokes in meditation a spiritual identity as a perfect Vrajagopi and executes his specific duties in the Astakalya Lila that are allocated to him by his Shakya leader. So the Shakya leader at this point then is allocating what duties you're to perform. So meditating on the mood, meditating on the service of that leading personality, then one performs one's service. So we can see it's a logical progression. It's not a matter of sentiment. It means the sentiment, of course, has to be right, that what is on that platform of bhava. That's the sentiment. It's not just because you feel like it. You feel like you also have to, on that platform, still feel like it, because you haven't gotten to prema yet. Right? The sadhaka must maintain and discipline his external life upon earth according to scriptural norms and internally nourish the siddha deha. So as we saw yesterday, all these different, the bowel adis, like that they mixing with tantra, that they don't follow the Vaishnav sadhana. And then they give this as a sign of advancement, that they're not attached to the material world. You know, then this is not what's recommended. Because why do you have to do all kinds of gross things to say, I'm not attached? Does that make sense? Why can't you just do the pure, you know, mode of goodness, or, you know, pure mode of goodness activities of the Vaishnava, and in this way show you're not attached? You know what I'm saying? No? Yes.
I was wondering if the term sahaja has any other purpose outside of the context of, you know, naming somebody as a false spiritualist.
Basically, sahaja's other purpose is defining them as a particular line within Buddhism. Because that's where the sahaja philosophy comes from. Sahajayana. It's a sahajayana. Like you have Mahayana, Hinayana, you have sahajayana. It's a group of Buddhism that became influenced by Bengali tantrics. And so they have all this other kind of jazz in there. Right? So it's just, that's why that's their name. It's not that we call them. You know, it's not like calling them schmoes or something like that. Right? It's that this is their title. Right? Does that make sense? You know, like we could say, well, you know, they're Hell's Angels, you know. You know, it doesn't sound very good, but that's what they call themselves. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole point, is that it's their name. But it means, sahajayana means that it's the easy path, because what the Buddhists did is they dropped the need to study scriptures or to follow rituals. So it's all about the mood. And then the tantric element, when they're involved in all kinds of tantric rituals and engaging the senses in all kinds of tamasic ways. And in this way, supposedly, they contact the higher energy. All they're doing is absorbing themselves more in the mode of ignorance, so it creates more intensity. You know what I'm saying? Everything's going very nicely because you've organized it and everything, so it's intense, but it's peaceful. But you could also create things by not organizing anything, so last second everything's trying to happen, and you're getting everything, so it intensifies it. So it seems like, oh, this is higher because there's more energy. But actually it's lower because it's not organized. The mode of ignorance is there, mode of passion is there. So that's what's there in it. Then when Bengal became Vaishnavs, Gaudiya Vaishnavs, then they just applied that into Gaudiya Vaishnavism, because that became kind of like the state religion. So then they just, you know, adjusted, you know, their that Buddhistic mentality to involve Radha and Krishna instead of basically Shiva and Mahamaya. Then it just became Radha and Krishna. So because if Shiva and Mahamaya, there means the material consciousness is a representative of them, so you can't, though it's even wrong there, they put themselves in the position of Shiva and Parvati. You know, and that by that interaction, then you are, you know, somehow or another tasting the divine or something. That's their idea. So all they did is put Radha and Krishna there. So they're actually impersonalists. You understand? But because it's simple, they don't worry about scriptures, so they don't really know what they're doing, and they don't worry about rituals, so it's not about what you should be doing in particular sadhana. Does that make sense? So the sahajya represents all that. We just take that element of the easy. It means they don't go through the actual endeavor, the austerity of progressing in devotional service. They just do it in a, you know, sentimental way. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so he must maintain a discipline, his external life upon earth according to scriptural norms, internally nourishes siddhadeha, spiritual identity, by bhava. So now, such an arrangement will ensure a growing distaste for things and subjects not related to Braja Leela. So the same principle is there on all levels. So here you're on your top level, right, within sadhana, is that you're externally following all the norms like that, and you don't have a problem following the norms because you don't have any conditioning. So there are no issues. Yes. That's one thing you can say, is basically issues significantly reduce with the Madhyama, but there are no issues with the Uttama because there is no bodily conception. Right? So you don't have to worry about bodily rights, you know, position, you know. What about the temple devotees' rights or what about, you know, you don't have to worry about that because you don't care. You just actually get down to business of just practicing sadhana bhakti properly. Right? And at the same time, you're nourishing the internal of the spiritual identity. So the spiritual identity is servant of Krishna. So in this stage, they actually know who they are in Krishna Lila. You have a position. Does that make sense? So then, that, but it's the same. It's a detail of the principle, I'm servant. Right? So that sadhaka, serving, that cultivating, I'm servant of Krishna. And it says, by bhava. Now remember, bhava is the potency that goes all the way down through sadhana. Right? All the aspects of sadhana. So Vaidhi, Raganuga, and bhava. So it's all powered by bhava. Right? So now the element is that's there, so the mood of that service to Krishna. I'm a servant of Krishna, then that mood of service to Krishna. So at this stage, and that mood will be very specific and very full. Vijay. Right? Gurudev, I desire to understand the system still more clearly. Goswami, the purport of Vrajavasa, residence in Vraja, is to live in solitude with a consciousness steeped in transcendence and bhava. So the solitude means that one, you know, other than what is the natural interaction with Vaishnavas, there's no need to be involved in social programs and this and that, and so it's not about... Does that make sense? No, in other words, the uniqueness about the Vedic religious process is everybody, as an individual, can be taking part in a festival. You know what I'm saying? The kirtan's going on and everybody can be absorbed in their own way. You know, it's not that they all have to be in the same kind of ecstasy. And that's what makes it nice. Right? You see, sahajiyas, others, they like to do that. They get into it, get together, and do a whole bob between them. But it's not about that. It's about you, yourself, and the Lord. You with the devotee. You know, so that individualness stays here. So here, that also... That solitude means that you're absorbed in your sadhana. So it means you can be with other devotees and interact and very much appreciate the association. But it's still you as an individual is doing that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Chanting Harinam a designated number of rounds while meditating on practical devotional service in the Astakaliya Lila is essential. Right, so you're still chanting a designated amount of rounds. You can always chant more, but you're not chanting less than the designated number of rounds. And you're meditating on service. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, if you can chant japa, you can be absorbed in the name, then it's there. And, you know, one can be absorbed in service also, how to perform service. But one should try to avoid being absorbed in just material activities. So here, then, because one has a position, one's thinking of the pastimes and all that, and how one can assist and serve whoever it is you're working with. Furthermore, one should be always alert that one's external activities of bodily maintenance and the like do not neutralize or deprecate one's bhajan. So in other words, whatever you do should be favorable. It should never, you know, not be favorable. At least neutral, right? Not neutralized, at least neutral. Like taking your bath may not be, you know, the greatest devotional activity, but it doesn't neutralize, you know, your devotional activities, right? Thus, all external work should be carried out with the consideration that it must be conductive to further development in devotional service, right? So one has come to everything that one does, one sees it connects in devotional service. So naturally, at this point, one would have cut down so many things. Right, where there would be very minimal elements of involvement in, you know, social and things like that. Generally, this stage, someone's generally at the, you know, Paramahamsa level. So very few traditionally would be grihasthas, right? But it doesn't mean they can't be, because the Lord's associates are grihasthas, so it's not that it gets in the way. They're practicing grihastha life perfectly in line with devotional service. So it can be done. But generally speaking, someone at this stage doesn't have. So one has very few possessions, one very simple environment to stay, you know, very simple schedule, so that all just is supportive of one's absorption in Krishna Lila. Does that make sense? But if not, even if one is in the house of life, one reduces it down to what, you know, works nicely for the position you're in. right? You're in a bigger position. You have more facility. You're in a lesser position. You can keep less facility. Right? Somebody says, yeah.
Before that stage of bhava, can we say that the devotee has no real position?
No. It means you have a position, but you're unaware of it. Just like, let's say, when the child is born, he it is the idea that he will grow up and take over the family business or whatever is that thing, you know, right here. I can't even remember the titles of it. But you know, like that, you know, his... you know, position of nobility, or whatever it is. He's supposed to take that over and, you know, does that make sense? Or, you know, even if not, his father has a position down in the car factory, so he's hoping when his son grows up that he'll get that position and won't get left out. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So the whole point is you have a position already, but now it's just a matter of you maturing to where you can do that. So what, even though one has a position, but it doesn't mean you can do anything with it. So there's no use worrying about it. So what's the point? Okay, let us say now, okay, the son is going to grow up. He's going to take over the family, you know, the empire, you know, whatever it is. So what does he need to do that? Just whimsical feelings of doing whatever he likes whenever he wants? No. He has to have regulation. He has to have a sense of duty. He has to have a sense of commitment. He has to have forbearance. He has to have, you know, sensitivity to the environment, sensitivity to the others, the ability to work with others, right? Not taking things that belong to others, otherwise they don't want to work with him anymore. Being truthful, otherwise they don't want to work with him anymore. You understand? So all the good qualities that you require, you know, you have to have first. Then you can take it up. So this idea is, no, you can just take it up. You know, the three-year-old can manage the multinational corporation just because he feels like it. You know, so, you know, he walks into the boardroom, you know, and everyone's looking around, you know, where is he? You know, then somebody picks him up, puts him on the chair, you know, oh, okay, there he is, and like that. And he says, you know, just, you know, I know we've been, you know, working and, you know, developing, you know, a new kind of supersonic aircraft and all that, and we have, you know, big plans that we can, you know, go into the hundreds of millions of that like that. But actually, you know, in my own heart, I really think we should make lollipops, you know, like that. You know, something practical you can use every day like that, you know. And then all the people around the table are going, yeah, great idea. Right? Isn't that how it's going to work? No, okay. So that's the point, is until one is qualified, one cannot function within one's nature. But the principles and the qualities required, that is always there. You require them to execute it, so that's what you can do before you're qualified. Does that make sense? So it doesn't change. The process doesn't change. There's always this idea, oh no, it's this sadhana, it's raganuga sadhana. So a lot of times, when here's Bob sadhana, they'll call it raganuga sadhana. No, it's not. Raganuga sadhana is spontaneously liking to do the vaidhi. Right? Raganuga sadhana then has this element of absorption, meditation on the pastimes with yourself in them. So that's not that raganuga. Right? This still is raganuga because you're following the footsteps of those who are on the platform of prema. So they're ragatmika. So you're raganuga of them. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you could say this is the actual raganuga. So that's why Rupa Goswami says the principle of understanding one's position in the pastimes, that happens after anartha nivriti. Right? But he's referring to anartha nivriti meaning bhava, because now all the nartas are gone. You're liberated. Right? So that means, if we're taking the anartha nivriti, after that means nishta, that means simply you have an idea of the category, but not of the position. Does that make sense? Like Lord Brahma, after he became realized on the lotus, it brought him to the Madhyama platform. He could understand that he was a maidservant of Krishna. But it specifically says there, but he didn't know any details. So he wasn't on that platform, the Uttama platform, where he's doing Bhav Sadhana at that moment. Does that make sense? Because right? This is all before the creation, everything. He's just done his meditation. Then after this, then he says the Govindam prayers. Right? So this is way before anything starts. So then, you know, like that, then he progresses through. So in the same way, how the, you know, the head of the Sampradaya is going through the process. He performs his duties, tapa, right? Like that, focused on the Lord. Then he's able to realize his position as servitor of the Lord, right? And then has a specific, I mean, as a general category, right? But then it doesn't get into detail. It never gets into detail about this on this higher platform. Right? Because it's none of our business. Does that make sense? You know, we can say, no, it's our business, but that's just false ego. It's none of our business. Receiving these instructions somewhat gravely, Vijaya said, Srila Gurudev, I have understood your instructions, but how do I steady the mind in such Ashtakalya Lila meditation? Goswami, the mind becomes equipoised automatically as soon as the devotee actually attains Raghunuga Bhakti. And so if the mind's running all over, it means we haven't really attained Raghunuga Bhakti. Right? Because in other words, it will be stable for us. Does that make sense? You know, just like the kid is behaving himself, right? You know what I'm saying? So if you see a basically well-behaved child there with the adults in a kind of mildly formal environment, what's he doing? Right? He's basically not making any trouble, not talking, but is he not fidgeting and pulling and looking around at things and picking things up? And he may be doing that. Or maybe sometimes more formally just does nothing. But the point is to him, he's being very, very formal. But it's not actually good enough for an adult standard. You understand? So here is that. So when we say is that equipoise automatically means at the path of vaidhi becomes equipoise when it comes to one spontaneously wants to do it. When one wants to do it, is the mind go to anything else? Okay. Let's say you're hungry, right? And you sit and you sit down to something to eat. Right, and it's something you like to eat, and it's an environment you like to eat in. Okay, or possibly people you like to eat also with. Okay, now is there any distractions for you? Is there some problem that you want to focus on the food, but you're thinking of something else and you can't eat?
No.
Why? Because it's spontaneous.
Usually, there's a silence around.
Yeah. That's how you know everything's good. When everyone's talking, then we start eating, it's quiet for 5 or 10 minutes. And then it turns into a riot. Right? But if they keep talking all the way through, it means it was okay. Does that make sense? So, in other words, it will be, you're absorbed, so therefore there's nothing else to distract. So that's his point. Automatically, it attains Raghunuga. So here we're talking about a preliminary element of Raghunuga that can be within the Madhyama stage. Then you have the actual Raghunuga within the Bhava stage. Right? Does that make sense? Just like, let us say, the newest devotee, we would say he's chanting Hare Krishna, right? Okay. Now, but if we get technical, what is his chanting? Is it Shuddhanam? Good chance, no. It's Namabhas. But it's still chanting Hare Krishna. So you have the Raghunuga Sadhana, right? But there is the Shuddha form as Bhava. And you have the what do you call it?
Abhas.
Yeah, the Abhas form as the Madhyama platform. Does that make sense? So it's not exactly, it's the same, but it's not exactly the same. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? We're trying to make it very clear, the levels, so one is enthused that he knows, okay, this is how it goes through, and so therefore that's quite doable. At the same time, one doesn't make the mistake that, I want to do the highest, right? Because everybody always wants to do the highest. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, the person, you know, on the poster like that, or the advertisement, they're dressed up and they can be really pushing the edge of fashion, you know? Like, you know, any more and they'd fall off, right? And that, but now they're able to pull it off. But now if a common person dresses like that, you think they look stupid.
Yes.
Do you understand? Because they just don't have the attitude. Does that make sense? Okay. Because at this level of Raghunuga Bhakti, the consciousness naturally flows to Vraja Lila, being spontaneously attracted to Bhakti. Right? So that's the thing, is we are endeavoring for that, and we're following the process. By the process, it's the medium for expressing the devotion, whatever devotion we have, but it also purifies us, so there's less distraction. Right? In other words, if there's no distraction is there, then if we apply that desire, it moves forward very quickly.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Previously, we talked about choosing an inhabitant of Vrindavan, and we discussed that that wasn't exactly the process. So now, by what you're saying, it seems that very naturally that will come.
It'll come naturally, because the point is that if you have a particular mood, and that, then there's particular persons you follow. Like that. In any case, we know we're following the spiritual master, following Srila Prabhupada, following the previous acharyas headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. So basically, in general, you know, we got it all laid out. So you don't have to worry that it'll be, you know, how you say, Joe down at Joe's Mechanics or something like that. You know, it's like, right? Or if you want to get more, you know, kind of the shocky Bob, then, you know, Molly, his wife, you know, so like that. So it's not going to be that. Let me say. Yeah, it's you know, it's within this range. We have our acharyas. Okay.
Sometimes when some of the devotees are they like some particular acharya. So that means that's because their mood matches with them. Or is it something?
I didn't quite catch the acharya aspect. What was it?
Somebody may be attracted, or maybe more.
Oh, to a particular acharya.
Yeah, like
that's just that it's attracted by their devotional service. That's nice. But it doesn't necessarily mean that in Krishna's pastimes you'll be assisting them in those particular pastimes. Does that make sense? It's nice to be attracted by all the nice service. We're appreciating the service and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
And also it doesn't mean that the mood matches, because...
The point is basically you can say everybody's mood matches in Vrindavan, right? So the mood is to serve Krishna in Vrindavan. But then within that, there's more specifics. There's groups. Then you have the groups of the rasas. And within the rasas, there's groups. You know, there's Mother Jashoda, there's Kirtida, there's, you know, others like this. You know, you have the gopis, you have all the different... Does that make sense? You know, ultimately, there's only one. There's only, you know, when it comes to Parentarasa's Mother Jashoda, though there's other leading gopis. You know, when it comes to the younger gopis, there's only Radharani. The others are only assisting. You know, how do you create, like we said, how do you create further increase Parakya Bhava if Krishna can always be with Radharani with no obstacles, right? But if you add the others, then it increases the Parakya element. So technically, only Radharani is Yukteswari. But these others are Yukteswari, you know, so that it creates, it brings out the superiority of her position. As, you know what I'm saying? You know, if you're always eating something of, you know, one standard, then it becomes normal. Right? But if you have something that's less standard there, then you can appreciate this is better. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you're at home and it's completely normal and you don't think of it anything special and you think, hey, we're going out, we're going traveling, going on vacation. You know, this is great, that's exciting, because home is boring, right? But when you get out there, you find you much prefer, you know, your own bathroom, your own bed, you know, you got a place to put your stuff, you don't have to live out in a suitcase. You know, stuff like that. So, you know, one or two days that's new and exciting, but after a while it just gets like that. So then when you get home, you're actually happy to be home. You understand? So that's the whole idea, is that you add in these other things so you actually appreciate what's the best. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Maharaj, all your progressions in the devotional service is more for like Bhajanandi or?
No, it's the same. That Bhajanandi is just whether you preach or you don't. As Jiva Goswami explains, Goshtiyanandi is a group of Bhajanandis who preach. That's that. So it's just a matter of whether they're preaching or not. I mean, solitary means that you're not dependent upon someone else. So you're not dependent upon the external environment for your inspiration. You know what I'm saying? Means the material. You're inspired by the spiritual. Others, how they chant, how they serve, how they... That aspect. So that way, then, you're alone. You're in solitude. You know, just like silence doesn't mean you don't say anything. Silence means you're not talking anything other than about Krishna. So solitude means you're not involved in anything material. Right? You know, so what is it? Society, friendship, and love. That element you're not involved in on the material platform. You're simply involved with the devotees serving Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, it'll be taken as the external. But that's not actually how it works. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, it seems like everything is pointing in the direction of serving Krishna as a in the material rights. But the question would be if there is the Swarupa that we're trying to develop.
It's not we try to develop, it's what's there. You don't try to develop. It's just like the child when it's born, there's already a family lineage. He doesn't. The baby is not trying to develop the business and the social status of the family. It's already there. He just has to qualify to take the natural position. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It applies for this.
This applies for any rasa. See, it's because in this story there were two devotees. One was in Sakya Rasa, one was in Madhurya Rasa. So, in that, they did general discussions of bhava with both of them. But this last part, because it was somebody connected with Madhurya Rasa, therefore that's why it's just talking about Madhurya Rasa. It's only because that's the person that's being talked to. It's not that this is the only way of application, it's just this is the application for this individual. Does that make sense?
Yeah, my question also was in regard to the many other living entities that everybody pretty much is gonna or they have the chance to develop the relationship with Krishna as a in Madhurya Ras. But there is so many other. I mean, trying to.
Yes, they can, but if they have a position that's other than that, then they'll be happy in that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you have so many people here from Vaikuntha also. Vaikuntha and Dwarka and Mathura. Somebody says Ayodhya. All those living entities are here.
Yeah, that was my pretty much. My
yeah.
So whoever is in contact with this particular knowledge is because Krishna has made an arrangement for them to, and the other people, other living entities who have the chance to take part in, let's say, for South India, who are going to develop their relationship in the mood of in Vaikuntha. So
it's all properly arranged. You don't have to worry. Everybody's where they're supposed to be. Okay. Because we're saying is that, let's say someone is a Sri Vaishnava, we're not saying they should become a Gaudiya Vaishnava. We just make the point that the understanding of their philosophy can be more clearly understood if they understand ours. Because the ability to see you know, simultaneously contradictory elements working together that these other lines don't have, so they'll even understand their own line better through contact with us. I mean, they'll do fine on their own, but they'll even get their conclusions with us. You know, they can stay in their line, they just have more clear understanding. Like that. Concomitantly, there's a lack of interest in mundane matters, and thus the sadhaka's consciousness shies away from materialistic involvement. However, if there are still hindrances and material perturbations upon this path, then one should carefully follow the krama, gradual course, that I have mentioned previously. Then, once the mind and consciousness are fixed and steady by the result of purification, nothing will be able to unsettle them. Right? In other words, one naturally goes to a particular point, it develops, but then it starts to get disturbed, then you just go back to what made it work again, and just keep going through. Because you may develop one area, but another area isn't. You know what I'm saying? Once chanting may develop, but let's say dealing with the devotees may be less, or that's there, but you know, dealing with the family is less, or that's there, but dealing at work is less. You know, so it keeps all these different things. You just, does that make sense? So it's wherever it is, then he's just started at the basic fundamentals, and then move forward again. So, you don't deal right with prasad. What is prasad? You know, prasad is Krishna's mercy, so it's not different from Krishna. By taking prasad, you're in contact with Krishna. You start there, then the process starts to work better. Because then you have the understanding, then the appreciation, then... Okay, Vijay, kindly explain the krama course. Goswami. Every day, confining himself to a solitary place and determinedly repeating... repelling the attacks of material attraction. The devotee must spend a fixed period sincerely chanting Hari Nam while maintaining within his heart Baba. Gradually, this period of chanting should be increased. Eventually, the stage will come when the devotee begins to feel continually engulfed alaukika chinmaya bhava, uncommon transcendental emotion. Then, any impediments or disturbances will be afraid to approach him. Because he's tried, because the point is here afraid to approach him. Why does Maya approach the living entity?
Because they are attracted to it.
Okay, but now that's from the living entity's point. Let's just like this. We're looking at it from Maya's point of view here. Now, let's look at it this way. Does a woman ever do something that she feels that she might be insulted by doing it?
Not knowingly.
So in other words, if a woman thinks, I'll be insulted by doing this activity, she won't do it. Right? The man knows he may get insulted, but as long as he gets the results, it's all part of the game. Because it's about getting results. For the woman, it's about the experience. So the point is in the process, you're also getting experience. So if you're being insulted in the process, the experience is bad, then what's the use of the results? You know what I'm saying? If she sees that that's part of what you have to do, then she may do it. But she's getting another result. But why is Maya testing the living entity? Because they want something other than Krishna. So if they don't want anything other than Krishna, why will she approach? Because she'll just be insulted. Right? It's only worthwhile she approaches and there's some response. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's just it's subtle points, but you know, the girl's standing there and the guy's looking at her and she says, "What are you looking at?" But now, if no one noticed her, she'd be more insulted. That then she'd be insulted. No? Yeah, it's just yes, no. Okay. So in other words, one's come to the point where one's always absorbed in Krishna, therefore Maya's not going to approach because then she'll be insulted because you won't see it in that way. But the point is, you can say, oh, poor Maya, you know, nobody cares for Maya, you know, like that. But we have to remember that it's a Sarup Shakti, you know. The Sarup Shakti. So you don't have to say, well, somebody's got to stay in Maya, otherwise she'll feel bad. Like that. Is that she's the Sarup Shakti. So therefore, she's both the internal and the external. So she's Mahamaya and Yogamaya. So if you stop dealing with her as Mahamaya, she never approaches you as Mahamaya anymore. She always approaches as Yogamaya. Does that make sense? Right, so there's no problem. She won't feel bad. Don't worry.
That's a good excuse for next time. Well, I'm just feeling, I just not want to.
Yeah, she'll feel bad, you know. But, you know, of course, there's unlimited, uncountable living entities that aren't ignoring. So, you know, and we're so proud that it's our paying attention as the, it makes Maya's day, you know, like that. So, yeah. So, yeah, it might be hard to uphold it. In a but, you know, yeah. Okay. Vijaya, how long should this stage last? That's a real one.
How long is this going to last?
I remember one devotee was telling me his father went down to, I think it was Bentley, you know, he was going to buy a Bentley. And so then they were, you know, showing the car and telling about the car. And then he asked, how much horsepower? Right, you know, because American thing, oh yeah, this much and this and so much torque, and the man, the salesman said, sufficient. You know, it's just like, you know, the gentleman doesn't worry about those things. It's enough. Don't worry about it. You know, so how long will this last? Long enough. You know, no. I went down to the day, the minute. You know, here it comes. 5 more seconds. You know, no, it's not like that. It's just, you know, Goswami. One should continue until all distractions vanish, and there is not the faintest possibility of the distractions reoccurring. Right? It vanishes, and then the bang! Now they are again. Right? You know, that's the whole point. They vanish. See, they're gone. And, oh, you know, so you want to avoid that. So when there aren't, they're not coming back at all. Then that stage is accomplished. Right? In other words, one's going through and very methodically going through the process. So here, this is on Bhava, this is the Uttam platform, where one is beyond all rules and regulations. So you don't have to follow the rules and regulations, but you're following because they give an effect. Why do you do something? They give an effect.
So he gave a similar answer as the Bentley salesman. Right?
Yes.
Long enough.
Yeah, just long enough. Yeah. You don't have to worry. Vijaya, Gurudev, kindly clarify what you mean by chanting Harinam while maintaining within the heart Bhava. Because, right? You know, all these definitions have been given, now the sub-definitions. Goswami. To begin with, chant Harinam with ulasa, joy in your heart. Then gradually combine mamata, possessive attachment, with that of ulasa. Next to this nectarian mixture, add vishrambha, loving intimacy based on firm faith and confidence in the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Chanting in this manner will gradually purify one's consciousness and increasingly strengthen one's bhava until finally Shuddha Bhava will begin to manifest. Okay, so we're talking about Shuddha Nam. Now we're getting to the point of Shuddha Bhava.
Yes.
Right? Because the Shuddha Nam is there. Now you're chanting purely that, but now the mood has to develop. Right? So this is all worthwhile, because then once you attain all this, then one will be eternally on that platform and one doesn't have to worry about anything else. Okay, so there's joy, then that possessive attachment, and then the loving intimacy based on firm faith and confidence in the Lord. Right? So this idea is, how will does Krishna actually care, or does this and that? The point is, Krishna loves us, otherwise why is he sitting in the heart? You know what I'm saying? You know, the point is there's a limit, you know. It's just like, let's say, after a while, like when, you know, the mom, she gets up into, you know, 60s, 70s, you know, 80s, like that. She actually is quite comfortable living on her own. She wants everybody to pop by regularly and visit and everything, but she likes just being there alone, not having to worry about anybody, not having to deal with all the trips and all this and that. And, you know, when they come by and the grandkids are there, interact and all that. But then when they go, it's nice. It goes peaceful again. You just do what you want. You know, does that make sense? Yes? No?
Yes.
Yeah. So the whole point is, and that's your mom. But Krishna's still in your heart.
Okay.
So one should have that confidence, firm faith and confidence in the Lord's affection. Does that make sense?
So what we're leaving behind is the faith that we'll be happy in some circumstance with Krishna is not there. We're leaving that behind.
Yes, because otherwise you're thinking that, you know, I'm not happy materially, so what's wrong? Why Krishna isn't? Because the point is he can't be. You know what I'm saying? You know, the kid wants to eat mud, but the mother's giving him food instead. You know, so then the mother doesn't love him, you know. I want to eat the mud. She doesn't allow me to eat the mud. She's giving me sandesh, you know. You know, so we have these strange ideas of what are the symptoms of love rather than what actually are. So that means here is now, that's why this comes after, is that joy, that possessive attachment, and then that confidence, right? Because now looking at it again means the joy is just the position. So you're understanding the position. Why will joy be there? You know, because you understand, right? Isn't it? What's it? The song, Joy to the World. Why? Because now you know, the man's here. So now there's joy to the world, right? Isn't that? No?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the point, is you have the proper understanding, therefore there's joy. Now what are you adding to that? Then the attachment, which is in the prayojana, or aniruddha. Okay? Now, anything that goes into prayojana, where does it go after that?
Sambandha.
Back to sambandha. So therefore, intimacy based on firm faith and confidence. You understand? So it's following the natural path. You understand? So these formulas always work. You just have to know how to apply them at the different levels. But it's the same formulas. Do we catch that? So the formulas we learned on the beginning of this course, these are the formulas we see that are there used at the end of the course. Right? Because detail of this, this will be, you know, probably years 11 and 12. Right there. Does that make sense?
Like chemistry, magic.
Huh?
It's like chemistry.
Yeah, chemistry. It's just these formulas are there, they always work. So now it's just a matter of applying them finer and finer. So what it is it starts here, because adi means rasa starts with Radha and Krishna, so the adi rasa. Then all the other rasas expand, and then that reflection into the material world. So therefore, the finest details of Radha and Krishna Leela, that's actually the original formula. Right, that's its original application. Then it applies everywhere else. Does that make sense? Yes.
That's why the modern fails, because it doesn't go back to the Adirasa.
Yeah, no, the modern fails because it doesn't do that. I mean, unless they do it in a perverted thing, you know, Freud, everything's about sex and like that kind of stuff. You know, so probably mention. Maybe in your country, not mine. You know, so maybe that's how psychology works in your country, not in my country. You know, like that. So the whole point is there's the original. So from that, then you apply it to everything else. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like the sensitivity within the conjugal Ras, you know, is very, very fine and subtle. You know, so you're dealing, it's very volatile. But let's say in friendship rasa, it's not so volatile. Same sensitivity is required, but it's not so volatile. Right? So one can relax more, but that relax more, there's not that much intimacy. You understand? The greater the intimacy, the greater the intensity, the greater the volatility. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, but same principles. Chanting in this manner will gradually purify one's consciousness and increasingly strengthen one's bhava, right? So that mood of loving attachment. Until finally Shuddha Bhava will begin to manifest. Bhavapana dasa commences from this point. Okay, so that means when the Smarana dasa has attained to that full level right here of that joy, that possessive attachment, and that intimacy based on faith and confidence. When that comes to that full point, right? Does that make sense? Then it goes to the next stage, right? So what was the problem with those gopis that didn't go to the rasa dance?
He still held a little concept which was not complete surrender.
Yes. So that means they were, you know, that possessive attachment also included the household things, or included the joy gained from that, or the affections, that, you know what I'm saying? So it's basically on Krishna, or predominantly on Krishna.
Yes.
You know, depending upon what happened. In other words, the ones that immediately went, that's complete full. The ones that, you know, there was a little bit of trouble and then they Yoga Maya arranged and they went. Then it was just a very minor and then it came to that thing. The ones that there was greater trouble and they actually got stopped and everything, but then somehow or another Yoga Maya worked it out. Then it still, they came to that platform of Bhava Panadasa. Right? But then the ones that got stuck there and couldn't leave the house, then what it is that meditation on Krishna, that smarana becomes complete unto samadhi, that it burns off all the residues of pious and impious activities, right, from before, because they leave a mentality. There's not actually the karmas there. What's left is the mentality. That's the fragrance. Right? You know what I'm saying? The box smells like hing. There's no hing there, but it smells like hing. So the mentality, it smells like the material world, but it doesn't. Yeah, well, don't worry, no one's going to be going, I smell some material world. You know, and all the other gopis kind of move away. You know, you don't have to worry. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Can you get the air freshener? Yeah, that doesn't happen. That's only due to false ego here. I think it was when Arjuna went to, you know, he was lamenting when Abhimanyu got killed. And so then he didn't want to fight, this, that. And so Krishna took him up to the planet where he's from. And so, you know, he comes in there, and kind of everybody else is kind of like, I smell a human. You know, it's kind of like, what's going on here? You know, they're all looking around, you know. Like that, and then he sees Abhimanyu, but he couldn't care less. He's already back to his normal life and all that, because he was only there for 16 days, you know. And so then Arjuna could understand, no, he belongs there, he only came for some time, and that. Then he got, you know, there and went back and fought. Yes. Okay. Bhava Panadas Dasa commences from this point. In the state of Smarana, Bhava is interpolated and not spontaneously evoked. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, it's through your meditation you can see, so now the sadhana aspect is still there. It's within rag, but it still has the sadhana flavor. Because you're having to go through the stage, like it says, that krama. You have to keep going through that until it's just stopped and you're fully absorbed. Right? And so when it comes to that and that bhava, then that element, then you deepen it, because now it stays, so that joy then can go into that attachment, possessive attachment, and then into that confidence and faith, that loving intimacy, like that. Right? So then once it gets to that point, it's not a sadhana anymore. So there's no interpolation. It's not that you have to keep adding something into it. It's just naturally flowing. Interpolated means you add something, right?
Added from somewhere else.
Added from somewhere else. It means, in other words, there's the bhava, but then you have to add this, you know, you have to go through the stages of making it go in the right way.
Okay.
So you're bringing something from outside. The mind, you're going through and doing like this, rather than it's just spontaneously flowing from itself. Does that make sense?
Or it means something else placed in between other things.
Oh, okay. Something else placed in between.
Yeah, in math, we studied it when you put like overlap. It has also that meaning of...
Okay, overlapping. Okay, so same kind of, in other words, something else mixed. So now it means then you're going from pure to pure unalloyed. So this would be the stage where you say, now pure unalloyed starts. You know, or the beginning of it, right? Because before that is pure. Does that make sense? So yeah.
This is pure and real bhava.
Yes. Yes. But he says the Shuddha Bhava comes. Yeah. So they're taking that as pure alloy, because therefore you're in Bhava, but that pure Bhava, that Shuddha Bhava,
that's preliminary to Prema.
We still have two more, this stage and the next one to get to Prema. But almost there. Don't worry. Almost there. Because now the part is easy, because now that mood is there, so it's spontaneous. So now it's very quick. Just like the clearing stage, when you get the clearing stage, then everything's going away, all the anarthas are going away. The example is given as dry leaves in the wind. Right? They just fly away. Right? So that's there. So at this point, then anything is, it's just very quickly. So it's not, because it's spontaneous. So it's not a worry. Because you're focused on Krishna, so the other stuff just goes away. Okay, in the state of smarta, bhava is interpolated and not spontaneously evoked, because you're still going through, it's still a sadhana, right? However, when the sadhaka attains bhava panadasa, then shuddha bhava appears by the natural course of devotional practice. It is known as prema. For the Upasaka devotee, these ascending levels of nishta manifest in this particular sequence and are known as upasana nishta, steadiness in worship. Thus, there is a specific sequence known as upashaya nishta, steady development towards one's worshipable object. So now we can see here in this stage of bhava, this is the actual nishta. Right, because these terms are there to give a general category, but they also have broader meanings. Right, so now one is becomes stable and steady. So now at this point, one becomes nishtha, fixed. Right. So there's that sequence to go through. So the smarana dasa, varna dasa, shravana, varna, smarana, right? And then within the smarana, because you're going through the five levels of meditation. Right, smriti, anusmriti, you know, samadhi, I don't remember the other two. I think dhyana and dharana, dhyana, like that. I think there was something like that. It just means that occasionally you remember, more regularly you remember, quite often you remember, you're remembering this steadily, and then there's the depth or concentration of memory. So that's samadhi. So it's going through those stages. So when it gets to that stage, then it turns into bhavapana dasa.
Making a connection with our study on yoga, when the mind reaches that level nirudha, which is just absorbed, that's what
that's your beginning stages, yeah. So samadhi is the end. Right? So within samadhi, the stage of smarana dasa, then you want to bring it to the point of samadhi. But otherwise it'll go through all these other platforms. But the other ones go all the way down. But then when you get to the what is that? Yoga Rudha, or Yoga Ruksha, which one's the higher one? I always mix
them up. Yoga Rudha is the higher.
A Yoga Rudha is the higher, then it's the meditation is full. But it has to come to samadhi. Right? Because the dharana is the last of the Yoga Ruksha. Right? So Yoga Rudha is dhyana, it's meditation. And then turns into samadhi. So within that, then you're dealing with that higher end. But otherwise, before that, occasionally, you know, they only work on it from there, and then they do it all at once. We're already starting the process from the very beginning. You know, remembering Krishna and like that. Vijaya, kindly elucidate the sequence of upasya nishta. Goswami, if one is keen on attaining prema, that is, ashan kuchita prema dasa, fully bloomed, then one must follow the advice of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manasiksha Shloka 3. If you desire to live in Braja with rag, purified spiritual attraction, and serve eternally, birth after birth, the divine couple of Braja, serving them not as a married couple, but in Parakiya Rasa, then remember with deep affection Srila Srup Damarda Goswami, Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatan Goswami, along with their followers, and worship them as their Guru Shakis. Right. So yeah, following the advice. Okay. The purport of this verse is that when one worships the divine couple in Swakya Rasa, it ultimately culminates in Samanjasa Rasa, a balanced loving relationship. This prompts the spiritual emotions for serving them to become Sankuchita, ineffective and constrained. Therefore, Srila Sarup, Srila Rupa, and Srila Sanatana exhort us to worship the loving couple in the Parakya mood, which is without any constraint. Okay? So if you're worshiping in the Swakya, you know, that element that they're always together and they're supposed to be together and not like that, then the problem comes up is that it will come to a balanced, loving relationship. It'll be very nice. It'll come to the platform of prema. Yes. But it has that balanced element. So therefore, he says, he's giving the recommendation that you follow according to the directions of Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana Goswamis. Right? That by their direction, then worship in Parakya. Right? In other words, there's that mood. Right? Tattva, we know they're supposed to be together. But the tattva is not what you're looking at. You're looking at the rasa element. Right? Does that make sense? So, That's what was meant, is that that one adjusts with that. So that's the Shravana Dasa. Shravana Dasa. That one adjusts with the mood, right? And then adjusts with serving those personalities. You're following in their footsteps. Right? Because here you're having, see, it's Srila Sarup, Srila Rupa, and Srila Sanatana. Why? Those names, because that's how practically we're going to apply this. Right? Srup Damodar Goswami's instructions are then given to us by Raghunath Das. Yes. Right? Then Rupa Goswami's and Sanatana Goswami's, so therefore he's complete the instructions. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? So that is there. The point is, as mentioned before, one works under, in the group there. It's headed by Rupa, but the other side is Sanatana. Like you have Lalita and Vishaka, so you have Rupa and Raghuna. I mean, you understand, like this. So you have these elements. You have to know that there's the process and there's all the what is the environments, what is the actual positions, relationships, all that. So Sanatana Goswami gives all that. Then that's the environment in which, therefore, you can perform the activities under the protection of Srup Damodar. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And now, these three personalities are like in charge of some bandar to be a person.
Well, yes, you could say like that. Like that. But Srup through Raghunath.
Raghunath.
Right, so therefore, that's the element of Raghunath. That's Goswami. Does that make sense?
It's complicated.
Yes. The thing is you have to have an environment. That's Sanatana Goswami. Yes. Right? Then there's the attitude, you know, there's the worship itself and then the proper, you know, the ultimate, that mood, yes, that love. So that's Raghunath. Yes. But all that's happening under the protection of Srup Damodar. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. Even when, before and during Smarana Dasa, the endeavoring sadhaka is fostering Shuddha Bhava in bhajan, then such bhajan must be done with the acceptance of Shuddha Parakya Rasa, because Parakya Rati, when interpolated, even in the sadhana stages of bhajan, will gradually mature into Parakya Bhava. Oh, okay. Even when interpolated in the sadhana stages of bhava, will gradually mature into Parakya bhava and finally into Parakya rati. Right. So you have the bhava, the mood, then there's the rati, that attachment. So you're just making the difference between... So bhava and rati, so bhava is also called rati because that's where you develop that attachment. Or that is the mood. The bhava is rati, attachment. But then here it can be divided... means into the two aspects. The bhavas mean developing that mood, and then having developed that mood, then that natural spontaneous attraction. Right? Which will then produce Parakya Rasa. Right? At this point, the sadhaka attains Sarup Siddhi. manifestation of the eternal spiritual form. Indeed, the eternal permanently nitya rasa of the apricot lila braja is parakya rasa. So then at this point, he attains sarup siddhi. So even there, as you get your sarup, but you still have to become perfect in that. Does that make sense? So this whole process is there. So this idea is that you'll just get who you are, and like that, like the Babaji's in Vrindavan, you get your sarup. That is completely bogus, because the point is you have to be on that advanced stages of bhava to actually attain it. Yeah. Like that. So it doesn't matter. Right. And so the parakya rasa is the permanent rasa of the apricot, lila, and braja. Because it's all about parakya, it's all about Radha and Krishna. But even then, as we explained before, you do have the parakya element because Krishna is from Mathura. Mm-hmm. Right? So if he's from Mathura, that means he's in Vrindavan, he's not actually from there. So at any time, you could go back. So therefore, even that lack of ownership is still there. It means ownership, meaning on the the sambandha aspect. But in the mood, then there's that possessive attachment. Does that make sense?
Meaning that he belongs somewhere else.
Yeah, but legally he belongs somewhere else. But by mood, then there's that attachment, that possession. So that means the whole abhraj is working on parakya. Right? And then there's a full manifestation of that in the conjugal rasa with the gopis, yes. Because if it's swakya, then the swakya rasa will constrain parakya rasa. You're always cultivating swakya rasa. It will get in the way of cultivating parakya rasa. Because then you'll always see Radha and Krishna as together. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they're the internal poets, Sarup Shakti and the Lord. Now, those things are only brought out so people are comfortable with it and see that they're supposed to be together. Right? Otherwise, then if we don't bring it out, then you know, why can't we be with the energy? Right? That's why we're here. We want to enjoy the energy. No, the energy belongs to someone else. Like that. Does that make sense? Oh, okay. Then I'll be that potency. No. The Sarup Shakti is already there. We're an expanded jiva of the Chit Shakti within the Satchitananda. You know what I'm saying? It means the Sarup Shakti has all the Shaktis. So within that, the internal potency has, you know, Samvit, Sandini, Ladini. So the Samvit, we're expansions of that. So it kind of puts our position where we are. You know, otherwise, then it'll all be the, you know, so all these things just keep us from going off track. But in the appreciation of the rasa, then it's a matter of understanding that Radha and Krishna, it's a parakya mood. That's why it's just saying that. So it's not a problem for us now. So we're still trying to bend our heads around that we're not God and the Lord of all we survey. You know, but once we do get that down, then these subtle things have more meaning. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? The man's been, you know, stuck out in the jungle for the last week, hasn't had anything to eat. Finally comes in, you give him something to eat, he just crams in his mouth and this and that. After all that's done, then we can start talking about actually, you know, sitting down at the table and eating properly and manners and, you know, polite conversation and like that. But, you know, at this point, you're just happy if he doesn't chew his fingers off in the process, you know, or eat the plates or, you know what I'm saying? Like that, yeah. Vijaya, are there Shuddha Krama, different levels of realization in Astakalya Lila Bhaja? Oh, Shuddhi Krama. Goswami, after detailing the variegatedness of rasa in the Astakalya Lila, right? In other words, there's just understanding what it is. But then is there a natural progression through there in its natural or pure form? Right? Because otherwise, we see there's the basis of what it is, the facts and everything, how we fit into it and all that. Then there's this position of the Shuddha. Right? So I'm just understanding it, and then I'm trying to adjust with that, but then it comes to the platform, the shuddha, when that absorption is complete. Right? So the same in other words, the same process is happening coming to shuddha nam, then to shuddha bhava. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's still the same element, same kind of principle. Okay, in Sri Ujjwala Nilamani, Srila Rupa Goswami has then articulated the following is Shloka 23 of the Gauna Sambhoga division of the same treatise. Try to understand the purport. The pastimes of Sri Krishna are absolutely transcendental, and therefore they are unfathomable and unlimited. They are unfathomable to the conditioned souls because it is impossible for them to penetrate through the covering of material energy and comprehend the Shuddha Aprakrita Tattva, pure unmanifest truth that lies beyond this mundane shroud. Right? Therefore, all the anxiety about where the jiva came from, this and that. It's a straightforward thing from the spiritual world, but from here, then there's all the things and how can there be and this and that. Okay. The pastimes of the Lord are unlimited because rasa, the essence of Krishna Lila, manifests itself in an unsurpassable kaleidoscope of proliferating diversities. Right? So, unsurpassable means you can't find that much variety. You know, a kaleidoscope means it's constantly changing, it's never the same again. And proliferating means that they're just expanding. You know, it's not just that they're there, but they're dynamic. Right? That's what's going on. So, no one should worry you're going to get bored. Right? Now, heaven, you might get bored. But, you know, spiritual world, no chance. Right? Even if a devotee, having attained aprakrita bhava, realization of transcendence, were to describe these pastimes, the narrations would invariably come out in a restricted form because of the inadequacies inherent in any language. Right? It's just automatically going to come. We're not even discussing the audience here, but just in describing it, the inadequacies in the language. So everything is just there to support the expression of the mood. Right? So that feeling, that quality, that is the superior element. But you need forms in that to express it. Furthermore, if upon some occasion even the Supreme Lord himself were the speaker upon the subject of transcendence, still the audience would tend to misconstrue the topics of his speech because their consciousness is contaminated by the Maya Shakti. So even God, who is so expert with it, who could, therefore he could explain it, right? Because he is who he is. But at the same time, as the audience wouldn't be able to understand it. So either the language itself or the audience, so therefore then you have a problem. Right? You know, and with us, you have both, right? Like say, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is explaining it, but neither we understand the concepts nor the language. Like that. Therefore, Prabhupada is very kind to use more common language to express the same thing. Under these circumstances, the unlimited ocean of rasa cannot be fully fathomed. One may simply remain upon the shore and try to relish a mere drop. Vijaya, Prabhu, this being so, how then may we ever truly attain aprakrita rasa, transcendental mellow? Goswami, the sweetness of the nectarian madhurya rasa is unlimited, incomparable, inaccessible, and the very nature of Krishna Lila. However, right. In other words, the rasa is the nature of Krishna Lila. It's not that the forms it takes, it's the rasa that is the most important. The forms are only to bring out the rasa. Does that make sense? Like that. But the point is it's the rasa, it's not about arranging the forms. Because the forms are arranged by Yoga Maya. So Krishna doesn't have to worry about that. He can just absorb himself in rasa. Does that make sense?
Yes. In the discussion about Christians, we thought that when Paul decided mood was most important and the works were not relevant, yes. He was following that principle. But
following, but the point is how do you express it then? So then that's why it turns into just sentiment. because there is no forms, there's no standards. Therefore, you give rise to unlimited varieties of. Does that make sense? See, it's just like, let's say, the Judaic, basically you have more of how strictly you follow or not. It's not that it's something different. It's just what you emphasize and how much ritual is there. You know, do you say all the prayers three times a day, or you just do it once, or you just do it on Saturday, or you just do it at high holidays? You know what I'm saying? That's your difference. But the basic fundamentals are all the same. Does that make sense? But you see, within Christianity, you actually have different kinds of Christianity. You know, so that's the difficulty. You don't have a hierarchy as such. It's just different. That's because if you just spit on the mood, then what's the form? So you have to have both, like that. It means establishing the mood is more important than the ritual. Yes, but that's what Jesus was trying to do. But that doesn't mean now you throw out the ritual, right? In other words, Jesus said the mood's more important than the ritual. That was too much for some people. But now Paul goes to the point of throwing the ritual out and just keeping the mood. But then how do you express the mood? So they have to create new rituals. You know what I'm saying? The Jews already had a cup and already had some wine. You know what I'm saying? You know, so but now they have to create their own. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Okay, I think we should stop here. It's the next paragraph, I think. Okay. So basically, just three pages. Yes. Looks like. Finish.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jayanitai Gaura Prema.